Now let's talk about advertising in the growth phase. Advertising in the growth phase is different than advertising in the very beginning. Some of the same principles hold true. Again, social media ain't everything. There are lots of other ways to find customers. But up-leveling your advertising is amazing for growth too.
Hi there, and welcome to the Baking a Better Business podcast, or the series if you're watching from YouTube. I'm Sarah Grace, and I started a home bakery that turned into teaching others the art of cookie decorating. As I was teaching cookie decorating, we ended up in a lot of conversations about starting your own cookie decorating business from home, or your own home bakery. I started making videos about that topic, and that led into my new course, which is the Cookie Career Academy, and just creating content for people who own home bakeries. I'm so glad you're here, and you can learn more at sarahgracecookieco.com.
Now, once you've gotten established and you have started to make cookies or cakes or whatever it is that you're making, you've started baking for a few customers, and you're starting to see that traction of people knowing who you are, then you're going to want to think about growing. And your priorities are going to shift when you're thinking about growth versus when you're starting out. And part of the reason that I wanted to make this video is because my friend and one of my business mentors, Cassie Kitzmiller, she has basically this whole program for people who are in online business like me, and it breaks down what you need when you're getting started and what you don't need and shouldn't be pouring time and energy into. So I want to break that down for you in terms of baking here. She does such a good job of helping people prioritize what they're doing in online business. She helps me a lot with that. And just having this matters when you're starting, this doesn't. This matters when you're growing, but this doesn't matter yet. So anytime you're growing, just like we spoke about earlier, having those customers who are coming back again and again, that is going to grow your business. Repeat customers are the formula for business success in any business. So I want you to think about other ways that people can order from you. If you're only serving people through custom cookie sets, then that's going to limit how many times they can work with you in a given period of time. So if they're only ordering cookies for those special occasions or only ordering cakes for those special occasions, that may limit how many times they can come back to you. So think about things like pre-sales, where you're creating some holiday products. Like, for example, I would do these little cookie bouquets that were on a cake board, like icing, securing them to a cake board. And those would be wrapped in this pretty cellophane to heat seal them, but also make them look like a very nice packaged gift. And they would have like a little mason jar cookie to make it look like, I'll try and insert a picture of them here, but they'll have this like little mason jar at the bottom, and it looked like a cute bouquet, but it was made of custom decorated sugar cookies that they could pop off of the cake board and eat or just display in their kitchen until they were tired of it. It was like this edible art. And those were what I did for Mother's Day. And I sold several of those for Mother's Day. I did like these mom shaped cookies that you could get in a little clear box, gift type things. You could also do things like experiences, classes, anything like that, that is going to give them another opportunity to come and buy from you that isn't just, I need a cake for a birthday party, or I need cupcakes for a wedding, or whatever. Giving them an opportunity to then buy something in addition to what they're already buying. So first, you want to think about more opportunities for you to serve them at other times. Second, you want to think about how you can give them something else in addition to what they're already buying. So a lot of times what I did when I would do one of those pre-sales and I would have 10 people order a flower bouquet or whatever, when they would arrive for that pre-sale, when they would come to my porch for pickup, if I was doing porch pickup or if I was at a store or whatever it was, I would also have like 5 or 10 DIY kits made. That way, when they come and they say, oh, these are so beautiful, et cetera, et cetera, then you have the opportunity to say, maybe you're in conversation with them and they say, I'm going to give these to my mom, or these are going to be for my daughter-in-law who has young kids. You say, well, I have these fun mommy and me DIY kits for Mother's Day where kids and their moms can decorate flowers and hearts and stuff, and it has the icing and everything already in it if you'd like to take a look at them. And then that gives them an opportunity to get something else fun that they enjoy, and they're also getting to buy more from you. That's called increasing the customer value, which our customers are already valuable to us no matter how much they spend. At the same time, though, thinking in terms of business, in the business world, this is called an upsell. And it is so much easier. There's so much less friction in the process of someone who has already chosen to buy from you buying an additional something than it is for them to go somewhere else and buy something else, or than it is for you to find a completely new customer who's never bought from you before and sell something different to them. Think about when you go to Target. You walk into Target for a jug of milk. You walk out with 17 throw pillows, if you're like me. New throw pillows, maybe a cute outfit that you found on sale, possibly a pair of shoes and some dye-free snacks. Like, I go in there with blinders on and I come out with $500 worth of stuff half the time. I have to stay away from Target. It's a problem. But that is the art of the upsell. There's always that extra way that you can serve them, and you can position your products and offers in a way that you can give them a little something extra. This can look like you're hosting a cake decorating class or a cookie decorating class or whatever it is. And while you're there, you have pictures of the next holiday presale that you're doing. You have pictures of the cute pumpkin cookies that you're going to be selling next month during Halloween. And you can allow them to go ahead and pre-order those to get their name on the list before time runs out or whatever. And then they have an opportunity to buy something else while they're there. That is an upsell. And finding opportunities for those little upsells, those little here can I serve you more moments, that's going to help grow your business tremendously. Now, growing your business, let's talk a little bit about those numbers. And what I mean when I say growing your business. So I'm going to be referring to my notes here because this is kind of dense stuff and I wrote down how I wanted to share it. So revenue.
Hey y'all, Sarah here popping in to tell you about the Cookie Business Masterclass that you can now find on sarahgracecookieco.com. This isn't just for cookie decorators. This is for anyone who wants to start or grow a baking business of any kind. And this workshop will help you walk through exactly what you need to start and get a really good foundation for your baking business to come. It's going to help you bust through some of those fears that have been holding you back so that you can enter into your new business confidently. All you have to do is enter your email so I can send it over to you, and then you'll be directed to the video so that you can watch while you decorate or bake or whatever it is that you're doing. I hope you'll check it out. You can find that at sarahgracecookieco.com on the homepage or sarahgracecookieco.com/masterclass.
Let's camp out on the word revenue for just a second. Is all the money that comes into your business. And you may also hear this referred to as your top line, or like all the money coming in general. It's what you get paid for whatever you're making. But if you've been in business for more than a minute, you know that what you receive in money is not necessarily what goes into your personal bank account. So you know that that's not what you bring home. There are expenses that have to be paid and associated costs that come with business. So the old saying, spend money to make money, it really holds true. Your revenue minus everything that you spend to get it is called your profit. It's what's left after your materials are bought and your associated costs are covered. So if you're paying $12 a month for Canva, that's one of your costs. If you're buying that big sack of flour from Sam's, that's one of your costs. All of those are expenses that are deducting from the amount that would be considered profit. So say your revenue, let's just use a simple example, is $100. Then you buy $50 worth of supplies at Sam's and $10 worth of supplies on Amazon. Your profit, if you sell that for $200, is going to be, I made that harder than it had to be, 50, 60, 40, is going to be 140. If my math is wrong, somebody correct me. But I believe it's going to be about 140. I should have made that example easier for myself. Maybe I'll edit this part out later. Hire me as your business coach. I'm great at math. Anyway, now, not all business owners bring home their full amount of profit. Some reinvest it. Some save it. Some needs to be set aside for paying your taxes at the end of the year. There are lots of things that you can do and make decisions on with that set amount of profit. But a good rule of thumb is you can bring home a certain percentage of that profit, and that's what's going to determine your paycheck or what's going into your personal account. Now, as we talk about growing your business, as you hear me say the word growth, I want you to think about this in terms of coming at any of the strategies that I'm sharing with you from the angle of thinking what you can do to increase that revenue without increasing those expenses too much, and doing it in a way that considers your time as your most valuable resource. So one of the ways you can grow your business is by reinvesting in your business. When you're making a little bit of money, if you can see, hey, if I buy a bigger mixer, I'm going to be able to save myself some time, make a few more cookies, whatever it is, you can reinvest in that. Or if I buy myself a projector, I can make these beautiful monogram cookies, or I can copy these logos and do cookies for businesses. Reinvesting in your business can be a great way to grow because you're considering the return on your investment. Anything that makes your organization, your systems easier, anything that's going to save you time is usually going to be worth it. I want to caution you here though. Don't fall into the let me just spend some money and it will fix my business trap. That is an easy one to get into, especially when you're being marketed to as a business owner. Don't fall into the just buy 100 t-shirts and it'll be the thing that fixes your business. Just buy the new mixer and it'll be the thing that fixes your business. That is not true. It can help you grow your business to reinvest in your business, but just dropping money and more money pouring into the business, if there's a hole in the bottom of your bucket, more pouring into the bucket is not going to fix the hole in the bottom of the bucket. Does that make sense? Okay. Anyway, don't fall into that trap. Think wisely and think intentionally about what you're spending in your business. But also, if you have a little bit of money rocking out in your business bank account and you think, it would be cool to have ... anything that can help you work ahead, it's worth it to me. I bought a heat sealer, like a bunch of heat sealing bags and a heat sealer, and it would keep my cookies fresh longer so I could work further ahead. It would keep them fresh for like 6 weeks. It was amazing, which sounds ridiculous, but it's true. I tested them. I say that they're good for about 2 weeks in heat sealed bags so that like if you have extra cookies, you can continue to eat on them because they're heat sealed in an airtight container. But I tried some one time that I left at a store during COVID lockdowns. Me and Misty went back to her store after, it was like 6 weeks. And I had left cookies in there because I had some in there that people were checking out for classes that were heat sealed. And I tried one just out of curiosity and it was still delicious. But all that's beside the point. Anything that lets you work a little further in advance or saves you time in the midst of your hectic work schedule, it's definitely worth it. If you have the money to spend on it. Setting up systems and staying organized, that's going to be huge for your growth. Anything that's going to free up your time and your creativity, that is going to be huge. So processes that save you time, effort, and energy that you can then pour back into your customers and their end product, that is recipe for growth. So these include systems like how you accept orders. You know, right now you may be doing mostly Facebook messages or text messages or calls, whatever it is that you're doing to accept orders now. You can save yourself some time by setting up a Google form that allows people to submit orders without you having to do so much back and forth messaging. They can tell you what date they need the order for, and if you're already booked on that date, you send back, "Hey, I'm sorry, this date's already booked," and you don't have to spend an hour going back and forth and messaging with that person. Which, I get, we want that personal touch, and you can still have that, but setting up some of those automations is key for freeing up some time. I've used Google Forms and a spreadsheet for this. I'll talk more about that in other videos, but you could also use your website. Wix, my website hosting platform of choice, has some form editors built in that you could absolutely use too. Some other systems and organization that you could take time to refine as you grow your business are things like ordering your ingredients in bulk so that you can save on some costs there. Organizing your space in a way that allows you to keep more ingredients in stock and save on costs by placing large orders on things that you know you're going to be using anyway. My husband built me this beautiful cookie rack out of wood. I say beautiful. It was very functional and it was also beautiful. But if you don't have a handy husband, you can buy these on Amazon where you can store your cookies as they're drying, and it just saves a ton of space. And this was a game changer for my productivity. I could just sit in front of my little cookie rack and swap those trays in and out, and it was wonderful. But that really upped my game and helped me grow my business. Anything you can do to just make your life easier and free up that mental bandwidth for creativity. Now let's talk about advertising in the growth phase. Advertising in the growth phase is different than advertising in the very beginning. Some of the same principles hold true. Again, social media ain't everything. There are lots of other ways to find customers. But up-leveling your advertising is amazing for growth too. Someone commented on a video recently and told me that they have a hard time remembering to post, let alone trying to record a video, because I was talking about how powerful video can be as a marketing tool. Now, I completely understand. It can be so overwhelming, especially when you're in the thick of actually running the bakery and baking the things. So growth is all about thinking in the long term and designing your days and weeks in a way that you aren't saying, "Oh shoot, I should post," or, "Oh shoot, I forgot to reach out to so-and-so," or, "I need to do that right now." That's building so much mental clutter in your brain and making it harder for you to be present with the work that you're doing and create a great product to go out the door. So you want to be thinking of things that you know you're going to have to do. There are things that you know you're going to have to do every week, things that you know you're going to have to do every day, every month, whatever it is. Think about creating your schedule in a way that intentionally prioritizes those tasks. Now, one of those tasks that you want to intentionally complete every week is thinking about your social media. So try to set aside a day and time. Maybe it's Monday mornings before the baking week starts, or maybe it's Friday evenings after all the drop-offs are done. Whenever it is, try to think about setting a day and time where you can schedule out your posts for the week, because Meta Business Suite from Facebook, if you have a Facebook business page, they will allow you to schedule posts in advance so that you don't actually have to be posting every day. If you're waking up in the morning and at some point during the day, you're having that, "Ooh, what do I post today? Ooh, I need to post" moment, that's taking valuable energy and dopamine away from your brain that you could be applying to your craft. So if you're waking up and deciding what to post, that's one more thing that your busy, overburdened brain is having to think about. And that's drawing energy away from your creative process and from your customer's experience. So try to intentionally plan out your week so that you can schedule things in advance and kind of think through your social media strategy a little bit so that you're getting it done in this amount of time, posting it, letting that go out through the week while you're doing other things. Example here, I had days of the week Like on Thursday, I would take photos of the cookies that I was making before I packaged them and then did the drop off and pick up on Friday. And I would do those pretty staged cookies on that day, those photos, kind of be intentional about the photography time that I was taking. And then Friday or Saturday, whenever I got done with pickups and all that good stuff, I would edit those photos and schedule them to post the following week so that when Monday came around, I was able to give my full time and focus to my decorating. And then I didn't have to worry about photos or social media except to reply to comments until the following week. So make the most of your marketing. Video is a great tool to make your marketing go further. And I know it's hard to get used to in the beginning, but once you get into the rhythm, setting up that tripod to record what you're doing while you're decorating doesn't take that much extra time. Now, editing your videos used to be something that was pretty time consuming, but now you have tools like CapCut on TikTok where you can record inside the app and it'll use AI to automatically cut your video for you and you can just make some little adjustments. So there are some really good AI editing tools out there, such as CapCut, such as the native TikTok editor, and then you can download that video from TikTok and post it to other platforms. So that's a really good one that I highly recommend, even if it's just one or two videos per month. That is better than nothing. You don't have to feel pressured to do two or three reels or short form videos per week. That's a little much in the beginning, I get it. But if you can do an occasional video that's pretty good quality, it will help so much in the reach that your posts are getting. Now, on the topic of tech and social media, focus on local. Local hashtags will be so helpful. Tagging and partnering with other local businesses, people who can buy from you in your area. Unless you're in one of the few states that allow you to sell online through a cottage food license, that was not an option for me in Tennessee. You want to focus on that local marketing strategy. Like I said, using local hashtags, tagging that location of so-and-so Tennessee or whatever in your post. That's going to help you get in front of the people who can actually buy from you. Another good thing to look into is local SEO. SEO is optimizing your website and everything that's on it in a way that helps you show up in search results on Google. You can also do this with Google My Business. And I dive further into this in the CCA course, the Cookie Career Academy. I give you the website template for Wix, and I'm going to update that soon because Wix has made some really cool updates in their editor that make it easier to design your site. So I'm excited to hop in and do that. But having a website, setting up a website, and setting it up in a way that allows your website to be found on Google, that allows people to come and see your work, join your email list, all those good things, those are great ways to grow.
Thank you so much for watching this video and for staying to the end. That really helps me when it comes to getting my videos seen by more bakers like you. So, if you have any questions or if you'd like to tell me what you thought, please let me know down below. I try my best to respond to every comment, so I'll try my very best to get back to you. Also, I'd really appreciate it if you enjoyed this video, if you click that like button, as well as hit the subscribe button and the notification bell so that you never miss a video in the future. If you're listening on the Bake a Better Business podcast, if you could leave a 5-star review and your honest opinion about the podcast, that helps it get in front of more people and helps us help other people start home bakeries. Hopefully, that's the goal anyway. So wherever you are, wherever you've listened today, thank you. I appreciate you. You guys are the reason I get to do what I love. And if you could hit all the buttons that you know you need to hit, that would help me a lot. And I'm so glad that you've hung out with me today and that we've gotten to bake or talk baking business, whatever it is that we chatted about in this video today. Thank you, and I hope you have a great week.